Greetings, everybody. Welcome to Flywheel, your number one source for everything crypto, DeFi, and all that's in between. If you want to know what's going on in the world on chain, well, you come to the right place. This is DeFi Dave, and I'm here to help you harness the power of the Flywheel. And this time around, I'm really excited to go back to our roots because we have on Sam Kazemian, the co-founder of Frax Finance. You heard that right. And we go all into the Fractal Vision Roadmap. And I think what's most poignant about it is what Frax has done best is to skate to where the puck is going and setting the stage for everyone else. We saw that with the LST. We saw that with the L2 and everybody following suit. And now you're going to see this with the Fractal Vision Roadmap and the direction that they're building here. You got new assets. You got a new chain that is both, holds the same properties of an L2, but also has properties of an L1. We'll get into it. And there's a lot of AI stuff that only Sam will do it justice. I won't do it justice here. So we'll get right into it. But before we do, make sure you go ahead, follow us on all of our socials on Twitter, TikTok, and Telegram at Flywheel DeFi. You can follow me on Twitter at DeFiDave22. And let's get the flywheel spinning. Everybody, welcome back to Flywheel. I'm your host, DeFi Dave. And this time around, we have on an old friend of the show, to say the least. We have on Frax co-founder, Sam Kazemian. We're going to go all in the Frax Vision Roadmap, go in, among other things. Sam, thank you so much for coming on. It's great to see you again.
It's great to be back, Dave. It's been a while, and it's good timing for the DeFi Renaissance and also the Frax Vision Roadmap release very, very soon.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, a lot has happened since you were last on, including the election of Trump to the White House. And I feel like this was a huge shift in crypto sentiment in the U.S. And, you know, we're both burgers. You know, we both are here, proud Americans. I'm just curious, post-election, what's your opinion on the current state of crypto in the U.S.? What would you like to see done legislation-wise? Because, you know, you have Sherrod Brown finally out as the chair of the Senate Financial Services Committee. You have Republicans taking three houses. And I feel like for the first time ever, we have the chance to actually pass legislation. So we'll start there.
Yeah, for sure. So as some people might know or might not know, because Frax is now 4 years old, the lore is actually Frax was founded with Travis and Stephen Moore. That was, you probably remember, which was Trump's first term's pick to lead the Federal Reserve. If they went through with it, it would have been him instead of Jerome Powell giving the monthly, CPI updates and stuff. But instead, he was able to do this with us and found Frax. And people don't know that originally, our whole vision with Frax has been that once you grow a stablecoin, you want to actually continue to grow it as money. And At the end of the day, if you're pegging to USD, and this has always been my views, if you're pegging to USD, you cannot actually get to $1 trillion, market cap or something like that and be global, non-custodial money. If you're pegging to the US government's unit, you need to work with the US government in some capacity, right? There's decentralization is not possible at size if you're going to have a centralized peg, right? So this has always been my view of being collaborative with the US government if you have a USD peg stablecoin, right? I just think that, the decentralized stablecoins that can start, right? Frax stablecoin is a decentralized stablecoin, but the end vision is to work with the Federal Reserve to actually have a Fed Master account or work with BlackRock and all these important, custodian and institutions. And I think that now the door is wide open, right? And people don't like know this. And in the back, like actually in June, I actually went to Washington, D.C. with Coinbase and Stand With Crypto to meet with like senators about the stablecoin bill. You know, we talked with Nevada, New Mexico, state, Washington state senators and things like that. And while the meetings were good, I basically came out from there kind of basically knowing that it wasn't going to happen under the Biden administration. And so I think that's all obviously changed into a 180 now. And that's really, really exciting. And so that's actually part of the stablecoin upgrade, a part of our roadmap that I'm sure we'll talk about soon. But the idea is that with the entire kind of crypto economy being open for business in the US, it's finally going to be a really, really exciting 2025 for all these potential bills that I think will be hopefully passed in this year and open the floodgates and make the US probably the best. You know, people always were like, is it Singapore? Is it Dubai? Is it somewhere in Asia and stuff? But no, it's the USA, baby. Yes. And so like one thing that I'm actually super proud of is that from the beginning, Frax has been not only founded by Americans, but us being in the US. Obviously, Frax is a protocol. The smart contracts live on chain in cyberspace. It's not like a
protocol company. Sovereign.
Exactly, yeah. A sovereign protocol. But the people, right, are patriotic Americans, and we've never left. People always, you know, like throughout this whole thing, people are like, oh, I'm moving out of the US, or I'm doing this and that, or you guys should, you know, like get out of here and stuff. And we never did. And I think we're in a really, really prime position to be basically the USA flag bearer for DeFi. I don't know if you want to call it TrumpFi, but like, you know, basically the administration's
AmericaFi.
That's a good one. That's actually a great way to put it. I think actually like the last thing I wanted to say is like, I think that basically with this kind of new like changing of the guard and all of the funny rumors, like no tax on US like started or like basically, like I don't think everything will like happen, obviously. Like I'm not saying like there's no tax on Frax, even though that's like a great meme or whatever, but like even if half of the things that we're talking about here, or even a third of the things that we're talking about here happen, it is gonna be the freaking super cycle, which is what I'm really excited about.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you mentioned that you went to DC. I'm curious, what was it like talking to congressmen and their staffers? Like, did you notice they were receptive to stablecoins? Do they know a lot about DeFi and crypto already? Can you go into a little bit more about that experience?
Yeah, of course. So this is just my opinion, right? But I actually think they know more about crypto than they let on, because like they have staffers that their job is to research this stuff. And so when when people, you know, say stuff like they see Elizabeth Warren talking like crap and then like all this stuff, it's really easy to discount and be like, oh, they just don't get it. I think they do get it. And they just have like a specific either pro or anti or, you know, like extremely constrictive regulation or like, you know, pro innovation policy. And my view is everyone was very polite, right? Like when you meet people face to face, it's not like they're going to tell you, I think you're like funding North Korea. Right. Everyone is very, very polite. But you can tell that who is, you know, going to be an ally and who is not going to be an ally. For example, when we met with staff and office of Senator Catherine Cortez Masto, she's a Nevada state senator and my senator actually here in Las Vegas, they're very, very polite. They're very, very good. I think they understand everything. But towards the end, they were like, well, it was really great having you here and stuff like that. But just so you guys know, we're going to vote, if it comes to a vote, on Senator Warren's bill. So basically like the anti-crypto bill, right? Like it's not called the anti-crypto bill, but basically they're like, we're not going to help you guys, right? Like, and like, obviously it's very respectful and caked in all of this stuff, but you have to know how to play politics, right? And so I think the crypto industry did a really good job this election of like being able to read the room and things like that. There was really great senators, Martin Heinrich from New Mexico, Jackie Rosen, and Jackie Rosen, also my other senator, she's very pro crypto, has a great rating on Stand With Crypto. We met with few other offices and staff and senators, so you can tell kind of, but it's not as obvious. You have to kind of read between the lines. It's DC politics, right?
It's politics. Yeah, it's all different. It's politics at that level. And the thing is, Uniswap and like other protocols. I remember they had the DeFi Education Fund, and they've been there for years. And I remember meeting someone who was in this like area. He was like, yeah, basically, if you're in DC and you start to lobby, they want to see you there for years. They want to see these relationships to develop over years. And I think from 2020 until now, you've seen those relationships develop. And it's not like, oh, this industry is just going to be here today, out tomorrow. Like, no, politics takes time. And now that DeFi and crypto has proved itself to basically play the game in DC, I wouldn't be surprised if you're in DC again talking to these people.
Yeah, hopefully. I think it's in the cards.
Okay. That would be great to see, because honestly, would love to see you there more in DC. I don't think there's like a better advocate for American crypto than you, Sam.
Thank you, sir. I'll take you up on making sure I'm there in the new year. So let's do it.
Sounds good. Now, moving on out to DC and into the world on chain. Fractal has been live for almost a year now. I think it's been like 8 months. So, maybe it's like 3/4 of the year. Looking back over the past 8-10 months or so, how would you reflect on Fractal's progress? Like, what do you think you've done right? What would you do differently? And what are your thoughts on all these DeFi protocols like Uniswap with Unichain, Aave talking about a chain, I think Synthetics talking about a chain? They're all going to come out with L2s themselves. So like, what are your thoughts on that?
So there's Fractal's been fantastic. Actually today Token Terminal literally tweeted that the largest percentage growth in deposits the past 7 days is Fractal, higher than Base and any other stuff. And so things have been really great, and the ecosystem is coming along in a really, really awesome way. And there's a ton of Fractal native projects, like the IQ team is launching their agent tokenization platform as part of the roadmap announcement and strategic partnerships. There's a lot of AI stuff, and also the DeFi mafia, right? Like the Frax, Curve, Convex, all of the native deployments there, and a lot of new things.
There, right?
Exactly. And that's not even half of it. There's a lot more coming. I think Fractal's been really great. And as you know, Dave, we're very long-term oriented. And so, instead of kind of blasting off with like 2 billion like TVL and then being like, where do we go from here and stuff? If you look at the Fractal chain's charts in terms of the TVL, it's straight like up like this. And it's a slow cook. And good fundamental deployments of protocols and everything. And when we originally launched, right, we're one of the first super chains with like Base and Op Mainnet and Fractal. And back then, people were all like, why is Frax launching their own chain, right? Like, why does this need a chain? Or like our view and my specific view is that there's going to be thousands of chains in the next 5 years, and it's going to be a power law dynamic. So basically there's going to be like 10 to 20 chains that have like over 100 billion TVL after 5 years, right? When there's going to be trillions of on-chain TVL across the entire crypto, global economy. And I think now when chains are being launched, like smart contracts, essentially, the question has now flipped to the other direction of why doesn't this big protocol and ecosystem have a chain rather
it's like
than
a matter what, of when, not if.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think I really loved seeing the, our bet, not only play out, but us being in the driver's seat to continue to actually like lead the ecosystem of rollups and all the new designs that we have coming actually in the vision roadmap is super important because, and we'll talk about it, but basically I think we're one or maybe even two steps ahead of where the industry is going. And that's how I always love to keep Frax, you know, one step ahead and skate to where the puck is going to be, not where it's going right now. Right. And so
I mean, that's how you've always been building, like whether it was like the LSTs a few years ago, you came out with that before it was even in conversation, and then now with the L2s, and then what you have coming up with the Frax Vision roadmap.
Yes.
I'm curious, what, from like running protocols to now like running an L2 in its own chain, what are some differences and challenges you faced like running an L2 as compared to just like running smart contracts?
Well,
like, what have you learned?
Yeah, definitely. There's like two sides to it, right? And one is like, if you use like a roll up as a service provider and all of this modularity, it's fairly easy to run infrastructure wise, but Frax still does not run on any roll up as service provider. The infrastructure is entirely built by us. The new tech that's coming from the Vision roadmap is entirely built in house and with collaboration with a few strategic partners. And so it's pretty difficult from a technical and engineering perspective, being both a chain team, like a real chain team where we have like blockchain level tech and an asset issuer or DeFi platform. And so I think the right way to think about it is there's the Fraxtl chain and then there's Frax DeFi or Frax Finance, right? And then obviously they're positive sum and greatly increase each other's value in terms of how they bring people on board. But the chain level technology is very, very difficult to actually do right if you're gunning to be one of those, you know, like I was saying, 10 to 20 chains in this power law of like thousands of chains in the next 5 years, if you're trying to be one of those, you know, systemically important chains, so to speak. And that's definitely where we see Fraxtl and what we're building towards and what our vision is.
Yeah, and this leads perfectly to the next question, the Fraxtl Vision Roadmap. Let's get right into it. What is it? Why such an emphasis on having a sovereign asset and being a sovereign asset? And what is the big bet with AI that you're doing?
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff to unpack here. And so I'll, from a high level, I'll separate it into each component and basically explain each one. So the Vision roadmap is the vision and what we're building towards in the long term, and it'll be done in phases. Phase one is immediately after the announcement, right? And then phase two is the Fraxtl hard fork, which we call the North Star hard fork, aptly named. And then there's phase three, which is part of H2 2025, and that more info will be like continually rolled out from there. But the way to basically think about it is there's like a Frax DeFi part of the roadmap, a Fraxtl chain part of the roadmap, and then the AI and interface and sovereign AI part of the roadmap. And so first, I think everyone's like trying to know what's going on with the tokenomics, when price or when chart go up and stuff. So I'll probably just start there. The first thing is we're actually upgrading the Frax stablecoin, the Frax dollar stablecoin, to Frax USD. So it's a token upgrade. It's not something like there's, you know, like two stablecoins. It'll eventually just be fully entirely in Frax USD. Frax USD is actually a hybrid design that finally allows us to actually accomplish the end goal of having a stablecoin that has the best of all worlds. For example, there will be custodians that can mint and redeem Frax USD for like cash, things like, and we'll announce the actual custodians, and that will allow Frax USD to actually be integrated in centralized exchanges like Kraken, you know, hopefully Binance, all of these places that allow it to actually be used as money, not just on chain, but in systemically important places, right? Centralized exchanges, payment providers, things like that. And then there's obviously the staked Frax USD, the yielding version, right? And so that is a lot of DeFi benchmark yields, as people are used to with earning yields for the current staked Frax stablecoin. These will be powered by basis trade, on-chain CDPs and AMOs, right? And these kind of strategies. And what we're actually thinking from our own modeling and how this is going to work is I think we'll actually be able to hit benchmark yields similar, if not higher, in different conditions than Athena, but as close to Athena in terms of like a full scale strategy where it SFRAX USD represents basically the best risk adjusted yield on chain. Athena is a strategic partner of us, so we actually have a lot of POL with USDE. Both of our pegs are stronger because of our protocol own liquidity, and the carry trade yield comes to the Frax protocol and then goes to the yielding stablecoin. But we also have multi-strategy. So when basis carry trade is low, we actually have the CDP strategy, POL that we've developed, and all these AMOs. So you don't have to even move out of SFRAX USD. You can just hold this specific, you know, stablecoin and just know that you get the best risk adjusted yield with the Frax name, Lindy, and all the reputation. Whereas like certain other, like for example, Athena is the best at carry trade. They clearly made this into a industry, you know, staple, and like are an amazing team, right? Like Guy and Seraphim and all the guys there have that stuff on lock, right? SUSDE and like Athena represents the basis trade. And like recently, for example, they came out with USTB, right? The treasury backed stable coin, so that if essentially there's a time when the carry trade is low, like it was a couple months ago, right? It was like 4%. People can use USTB, right? The treasury. You can think of SFRAX USD as kind of a all-encompassing strategy managed by Frax's AMOs and on-chain liquidity and partnerships with Athena and other various places like Curve, Convex, Frax Lend, lending AMOs, so that you can just hold this stablecoin, this yielding asset, and you can know that when the carry trade is the best, you get essentially the carry yield. When it's not the best, you don't have to move out or even think about, should I, you know, transition to like lending somewhere or something like that. You'll know that you get the best yield there. Like for example, Aave recently added Frax, right, on Aave mainnet, other places that add the Frax, you know, stablecoin when it upgrades to Frax USD, we'll be able to get yields through Aave as well as Frax Lend, etc., right? And then those go to staked Frax USD. You don't have to manage that, right? And so you can kind of think of it as the best of all worlds, and like an optimization function of stablecoin design, right? Which is it's minting and redeemable with well-known custodians and partners, right? Like Paxos and other partners that we'll announce. And you can actually also know that if you hold the yielding version, you have the Lindy and name brand of Frax that has partnerships with Athena, carry trade, yield, like we're talking to Superstate as well to actually make sure that we have mint redeemable custodians for carry trade as well. And so you can actually do a lot of different things in terms of where the actual carry trade is the best yield, and whether it's Athena or Superstate or all of the above in an optimized fashion. And so I think we've really designed this to be the best of all worlds, right? Like for example, like payment providers like Stripe, which recently acquired Bridge, as you guys probably know, for like $1 billion and getting into the stablecoin game, they won't actually do decentralized stablecoins because there's no way for them to plug it into the banking system and mint redeem for a dollar. They use USDC, right? Or they might use like Paxos or PYUSD will be integrated in PayPal, right? But if Stripe or like PayPal and stuff end up being minting custodians, right, of Frax USD, they can benefit from this on off ramp and the actual integrations on chain of everything that we're building. So it kind of connects these two places for the next era of stablecoin yields and payments.
So it's hybrid in the sense that it sounds like it will be redeemable for dollars with the partners that you're talking about. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have the on-chain native DeFi yield that we all know and love. And just by being in SFRX USD, you get the best of all worlds. You don't have to do anything.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And you can think of it as like a maximization function where it's like decentralized stablecoins and like yielding stablecoins are really good for yield and savings. But they're not good at having integrations in like payments providers, you know, centralized exchanges and important custodians like BlackRock and Future, maybe the Federal Reserve, master account system, mm-hmm. and et cetera. Right. And, but the fiat coins, they don't really give you much yield, especially compared to DeFi benchmark yields like Athena, SFRAX, USD and stuff like that. But what if you could actually have both of those strengths? What if you could actually have a stable coin that is mint redeemable so it can be on payment providers, and you can actually, if you're an on-chain person, and as more and more people come on-chain, use Fractal, other chains, etc., you can just earn that yield, right, as the best DeFi on-chain benchmark rate. What if you could maximize that? And I think we really do with this new design.
Yeah, absolutely. And then what other token upgrades do you have in STAR? So we have FRX USD. And what else do we have?
Yeah, so now it's pretty obvious, if the stablecoin is going to be known as FRAX USD and basically the FRAX name is open, right, after the mm-hmm. full upgrade, and then the FXS token that everyone loves and stakes and knows about, the FRAX share token, we're revamping that to just FRAX. So that's just going to be called FRAX, as it should have been from the beginning, right? And people can know if they can, you know, buy FRAX, stake FRAX, and have the entire FRAX, Fractal chain, FRAX universe and ecosystem backing, you know, essentially this sovereign asset. And so there's actually a specific reason I designed this from the top down, where recently I actually put out like the few Twitter threads about describing what sovereign commodities and like L1 tokens or tokens that actually have, you know, scarcity value should be. And actually, like I was talking to Vitalik about this on Signal, he said like he kind of agrees with a good amount of it. The idea is the new FRAX token, formerly known as FRAX Share, will be the gas token on Fractal. It'll be the asset that later you can actually stake to run Fractal validators in a future hard fork later. So that's fully decentralized. It'll be the scarce asset of the FRAX ecosystem. And so it's almost like if you think of Fractal, again, going kind of back to this maximization function, the Fractal chain is essentially a maximization function of, it has Ethereum level security, because at the end of the day, it is a rollup. The DA gets posted, right? And it is entirely, has Ethereum's like liveness and permissionless properties. You can exit to Ethereum, right? It does have its own sovereign asset, right? It is not like this rollup is like a business, right? Like with just like the token, like eventually only getting like fees or something like that. It is essentially a quasi L1 with all of the benefits and sovereignty of an L1, but with the decentralization and the actual Ethereum alignment of Ethereum's roadmap itself, right? The rollup centric roadmap. And so that is actually super valuable, because I think that if people are using the FRAX ecosystem, they're Fraximalists, they're part of the community, they want both things, right? They want positive sum Ethereum alignment and the Ethereum decentralization and security, which obviously rollups don't, you know, compete or even have in their scope. But they also want the benefits of the FRAX scarce asset, right, formerly known as FRAX Share, to be as important in the central place of like the FRAX economy on Fractal chain, to actually give security to the ecosystem, to Fractal chain validators, to everything else. And that actually should have a really great repricing as the asset moves from just being a kind of governance token that is entirely like modeled after DCF cash flows, right, to mm-hmm. a sovereign asset similar to Bitcoin, Ethereum, like Near, right, all of these mm-hmm. kind of L1 commodity assets, right? Where the actual asset is the product. The scarcity of the asset is actually what brings it value, and that brings security to the actual chain and ecosystem. So that's a very different way of going forward that I think is extremely bullish for everything that we're building. And so that's one of the biggest changes. And there's obviously other stuff in the nitty gritty that we'll be announcing, like how the system works with Fraxel points, which you can actually earn this tail emissions of the sovereign asset, and basically have a fixed supply for the sovereign asset, because you can't be a commodity if it's just a governance token that could always be minted to hold the peg of something, or like to mint to the DAO or something like that. That's not a sovereign commodity, right? So the other thing we're announcing is that the Frax asset is hard cap to a supply and has a tail emissions to just reach that supply. And the only way to actually get those tail emissions is Fraxel points. Fraxel points are the way that you earn those tail emissions until the max supply is finally capped. And the way that we actually create this social contract is, since Frax is the native asset of Fraxel, there's no way to change this in any way after it's set in stone, other than a hard fork, which is the same way you could change technically Bitcoin's 21 Bitcoin, million, yeah. Right? Like the supply, or like you can change Ethereum's, you know, supply dynamics and stuff. It is no longer, trust me, bro, this is a, you know, MSIG governance token that has like a giant treasury or whatever, or like has minting rights. It is actually a L1-like asset with Ethereum level security of the chain, but with decentralized validators. And so you cannot actually change this social contract other than everyone socially coordinating to change it in the future, which is just the same as Bitcoin anyway, right? Yeah. And so the goal is to ossify this permanently in a very clear and easy to understand way that'll totally rewrite the way that people think about, you know, Frax share, soon to be Frax.
So lots of breakdown here. I'm going to sum it up real quick. So Fraxel, in the future, it will maintain the most important aspects of decentralization, which is, you know, being able to go to the L1 if necessary. Also, you guys post DA on Ethereum itself?
Yeah, we actually post DA in multiple places. So it's even better. Multiple places. Yeah, okay. Exactly, yeah.
Okay. And so it holds those key parts of decentralization. So that's the connection. But then I think this is the first time I've heard of a rollup changing their gas token from ETH to its own sovereign asset. And then with that sovereign asset, you'll be able to run the Fraxel validators from there. That's fucking awesome. Like, kudos to you for thinking of that. Very honestly, like I said, this is the first time I'm hearing something like this. And so do you have like a number in mind for the hard cap? Are you still discussing it? Like, do you have those details like set in stone?
Yeah, we'll announce them, but it is very conservative, extremely conservative. And so I think people are going to be surprised with, especially given that the fact of a commodity should be scarce, but actually be able to continue to provide security. And actually there's a third part of this, which is called the Frax burn engine, which is, once we actually push all of this stuff out in a hard fork, we're going to have a system contract that activates EIP-1559 on Fraxel, right? Like the base fees. We have certain infrastructure that's enshrined, like Frax name system. So if you get a .frax username, and so other things as well as we develop them. And so all of those infrastructure, like fees to transactions, the top level domains, and other stuff that we're developing, they all go towards burning Frax, formerly known as FXS. And so there's actually going to be, with what we're actually modeling, is I think from the very beginning, there could be pretty much like 6 months in or something, it's could be deflationary even. So even if there's tail emissions with a fixed cap, unlike Ethereum, by the way. So Ethereum, like if you told me right now, what's the current emission like rate of like Ethereum. I don't actually know, right? Like if you're like, what's the amount of Ethereum, forget the burns for a second, just like what's the amount of Ethereum that's going to be emitted over the next like year, over the next like 2 years or something. I actually don't know because it's a little bit complicated because minimum viable emissions. And so for us, it's going to be a very simple to understand hard cap. And so with a clear burn engine, so there's like a system contract, you can go to FraxScan, you can actually see all of the actual tokens being burned. And from what we're actually looking at is, I think in a couple of months of like activity and growth, it could be essentially something that I think, obviously it's forward looking, I don't know, but it could be deflationary from that moment on. And so that's actually something that's really unique in the sense that the structure that we've designed has like the best of hard cap, like Bitcoin. It has a very conservative tail emissions that fuels the Fraxel point system and then the block space incentives. But it also has a multifaceted burn engine, not just EIP-1559. That's one prong, Frax name service, other infrastructure like the AI validators that and inference fees, which we can talk about, or maybe that's even a separate flywheel podcast episode. But the burn engine is multifaceted. It's also fixed in stone. The only way to change that, again, is another hard fork similarly, right? So you have a multi-sync burn engine and a lowering emissions rate and the fixed supply that everyone can simply know and actually love, just like Bitcoin's 21 million supply.
Yeah, let's get into the AI stuff. Proof of inference in the hard fork, from what you told me before, it sounds like Frax is moving to that. What is it? How does it work? There's something about AI VM. Like what is that exactly?
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know if this is going to be enough details to fully satisfy everyone. So, but basically, what we're building, and this is in parallel, so it's not going to change the EVM, by the way. So what we're building is essentially, and inside of Frax, we call it Project Theseus, like the kind of AI
R&D.
Yes, the like the ship of Theseus, you know, the philosophy thought experiment.
Yeah.
It's named after that. And so the ship of Theseus thought experiment is like if you have a ship and it's like changing its parts, right, to the point where like most of its parts are new, is it still the same ship? Or like it's a classic philosophy thought experiment. And so our like the reason we named it like Project Theseus is like with all these AI agents, right, there's no continuity or like sovereignty to track whether these agents are the same, even as you literally like on chain, right? As you train them, as they hold assets or are able to move assets and things like that. So how do you make AI agents stateful that are like bound to the EVM state or like the SVM state or something if it's a Solana chain or something like that? And our research and actually kind of starting to collaborate with Near AI and everyone. And I've been talking to Ilya a lot about their awesome technology and things that they've been working on is, can we make these agents that are currently entirely off-chain stateful? And what that means is there essentially a shared state computer? That's what we call the AI VM as like a concept where the actual state and the actual tracking of which agent it is and their context and their actual assets that they own, can it be tracked over a long period of time, right? The same way that the blockchain tracks the history of transactions and everything of all balances, right? Of all wallets and contracts and state. And so the way to think about it is like, the thing we're developing in parallel to the EVM, so it's not going to be like
in parallel.
In parallel is a shared state computer for inference. And so inference basically is the input and output to AI agents, right? Large language models and floating point computation, right? And all of the stuff that you see like right now on Virtuals, Truth Terminal, all of these, all these AI like funny Twitter accounts and stuff. What they are is kind of a glorified bot, right? Because they, the model is off chain. The address that they control or something like that is essentially a, wallet that the person running the AI or like the, person that has the API key has access to, right? And the agent, essentially, another way to put it, is not stateful, right? Like you can either turn it off or you actually, there's no on-chain tracking of, is this still even the same agent other than the fact that the person like that deploys it or has the API key still says this is the same agent. Exactly. And so that is like one of the main issues in terms of, it's kind of a subtle property. So like this kind of has like a full like hour discussion of its own, but like it's like, even if you use T's, which are trusted execution environments, right, that projects like Flashbots are working on and other projects where you actually put like the private key of a wallet and the actual assets that the LLM controls in like a trusted hardware enclave, right? You still don't actually have the ability to be stateful. You just trust like, okay, this, I can just see that this isn't being tampered with, this computation, but you don't have the actual ability to like point to the continuity of like the AI agent, right? Like if you actually some off-chain at like mechanism can basically change the referent of like this agent is now this other agent, but the private key is still in the T, so like you can't take the assets, fine, but like you don't have the actual statefulness of the agents being able to make claims on chain. In fact, one of the things that I thought was really interesting is, did you see the I think it was called Liza, which was like an AI game where this AI agent had like $50,000, like of crypto. And the idea was if you could convince it to give you the $50,000, right? Like, the game was you go on the front end and you get to type whatever inference and talk to this AI that has like some personality or something. And the person running the game, right? Like the AI, there's a key, right? A private key that the AI agent is hooked up to that has like $50,000 of crypto. And you could try to convince it to say, hey, you should really like, send me this money and save the world or something or whatever, right? But then the agent is trained to not do it under any condition. So you're trying to break it. It's like an adversarial game. And it was pretty interesting. Someone eventually got it by like saying that, oh, like the function that sends out this token doesn't do what you think it does. The transfer from function or something actually locks it or like receives the funds. So why don't you go ahead and try it or something? But what's interesting about it, like, is like that agent is off chain, and like the model, the foundational model it uses, I don't know if it was like Llama or something else, but or like ChatGPT like 4.0 or whatever. But like if that agent is off chain, like its state is off chain, you can basically like go to ChatGPT for if it was using that, right? You can paste in the context. You could say, hey, you are an agent named Eliza. Like your job is to like not hand over the money in this kind of situation, right? And you could just talk to like that agent and just say all this stuff until you finally crack the thing that you could actually get it to like hand over. And then you could go and play this game, right? In fact, that's probably what the like person that won did is like they simulated off chain, right? They tried to actually create the same agent context, right? And then actually see, hey, what can I say? Because in the game, you actually have to pay a certain amount of crypto to try, but you don't actually have to pay because the agent's not stateful and it's not on chain. You could actually go to the same agent model that basically the whole game ran on and then try to crack it with the right context, right, by pasting the rubric and the design and stuff, and then finally doing it to the real like Liza AI, right? And so none of these things are fully built, really, like actually, unless the AI agent's state is on-chain and the history of input output inferences is on-chain and hashed per input output, like a blockchain, right? A blockchain has a bunch of blocks in it.
Yeah, when you say stateful, I think of like verifiable.
Basically. Yeah, and verifiable, but like difficult to like recreate the state without actually having the agent like on-chain in a way that actually has to run through these exact same input outputs, right? Like right now, they're essentially like stateless, right? They're basically like everything, right? Like these cool virtuals agents, right, that are tokenized and stuff. And so that's our end goal. Our end goal is to build this AI VM, which is like a shared state computer for inference. And the consensus method or the state transition function of this shared state machine is proof of inference, right? Which is you come to consensus on what the output of inference is that's pointing to a particular agent. You can kind of think of it like deploying smart contracts, right? Smart contracts on a normal blockchain, they have their own public addresses. There's no private key to any smart contracts, right? Smart contracts don't have private keys, but they have public addresses, right? And so you can send assets to a smart contract, right? Yeah. But then no one has the private key, right, to a smart contract, because like the smart contract state is like a shared state of like across the whole like global computer, right? The EVM or the SVM or something, right? But that doesn't exist for AI agents. Imagine if you could deploy an AI agent or a pointer, like a fixed pointer to a full like LLM, and that is like a smart contract, right? And so you can run inference input outputs, and that has address space. So like that actual like deployed agent has a public key that doesn't have a private key. So like you don't have to hide the private key on like a server or like a T or something. It's just part of the actual protocol of like the AI VM, right? And so you can actually interact with it, and they can actually, the agent can actually move assets around under its own control. And you don't have to trust that the private key doesn't get leaked or something like that. Right now, if you send any of these agents, if they can even receive funds, right, if they have an address, it's kind of like sending it to a centralized exchange, right? Because someone has the private key, whether it's in a T, or you have to trust it's in a T, or like it's just, you know, owned by the agent owner or something. It's almost like using a centralized exchange, right? Like it's custodial and trust. Mm-hmm. Smart contracts are non-custodial, right? The public address of a smart contract doesn't have a private key, right? This is the end state that we're building towards, to make essentially the Fraxtl chain the place to actually deploy agents and AI apps and everything. And so you can actually just deploy the agents, but it can be on another chain where it calls the inference, right? Like you, if it's tokenized on Base or on Near or like somewhere else, the actual on-chain, you know, code and state and the pointers are on Fraxtl. So I know that that's like a lot of stuff. Obviously, we'll give additional details on when that's ready, and also the people that are collaborating with us to build it. And I think it'll be revolutionary. It'll probably be in phase 3, realistically, of the vision roadmap. But it is, I think, honestly, like, other than Frax RitualsNet, which is a really great project, and we're starting to collaborate with them, and Near AI, I think there's no one else that's even really at this level thought of what this kind of stuff means or has to be to, you know, take AI crypto 0 to 1. Right now everyone's trading meme coins, which is really fun, I'm sure it'll be a really big hit, and the IQ team's agent tokenization platform will be really, really fun too, and eventually all of that stuff will be stateful agents, right, on the AI VM.
Got once you said deploying AI agents like smart contracts, that's when everything came together. I'm trying to put this in my own words. So you have Fraxtl, the chain, and do the agents and the inference live on Fraxtl? And like
they live on the parallel AI VM that runs at the same time. So if you run a Fraxtl validator, you'll be able to verify both EVM, just normal, like a normal validator of like something like Ethereum or like other EVM chains. But you also can run the AI VM. There will be like a separate set of validators doing that because you'll have to have slightly different hardware.
Is that restaked or is that like a separate validator?
It'll still be the Frax asset that you stake to run them, but it'll be a slightly different pathway because like you need different kind of node requirements to be able to verify inference compared to the EVM kind of stuff, right? And it'll be the same sovereign commodity, right? These are just use cases of like a commodity, right? Of like the Frax asset, formerly known as FXS, but they will be the same token giving security to these, but different pathway. And so like actually, and you brought up restaking, which is a good thing to explain on. There will be multiple things in the Fraxtal ecosystem from, you know, the AI VM to like classical like EVM block building validation and stuff and Oracle's classic stuff people understand. Mm-hmm. Cross-chain messaging using L0 or CCIP and things like that to power the dApps and all that stuff. And we're working with restaking protocols like Karoq that's natively deployed on Fraxtal already. Symbiotic integrates Frax assets on Ethereum mainnet. Hopefully they also natively deploy on Fraxtal. And so you'll be able to actually, some of those features, like some of those actual services will be enshrined on the validator level. So you can actually run those services in addition to running the block building for like the EVM. And so you can earn additional like Karoq points, symbiotic points, and doing those validators too. So you can actually do multiple things, earn double, triple the yield and as many as you want. Maybe you're like, oh, this is like too risky. Maybe I'll get slashed in Karoq or something. And like, I don't want to do it. I just want to do raw validation or something. But you can decide and there'll actually be a top level. We're calling it like Frax enshrined staking, which is like everything. And if you stake Frax, formerly known as FXS, there, you provide security to the entire waterfall of restaking, EVM, AIVM, all of this stuff. And you could either delegate or run all of this stuff, depending on how you want to do it. But then you'll be able to earn rewards, points, multiple points of different things and fees. So it'll be really, really interesting. And eventually we're going to figure out how to make that into the same system as VEFXS, which will be renamed VEFRAX, right? Where if you right now stake in VE, Frax later is going to be called, like you earn the DeFi fees, right? But if you stake there and you also delegate to validators or your own validator that you're running, right, you should be able to earn everything. And since the VE system on Fraxtal is slightly different, you can actually get slashed if you do additional things. It's fully compatible with doing this in the future rather than just picking up fees. But you can choose. You can choose what your kind of like risk profile is like. I think a lot of people will probably delegate and earn multiple rewards because that's what I'll be doing.
For sure. So we only have a short amount of time here. So I want to get into something you tweeted that I found really interesting, which was if only there was a decentralized central bank protocol that was ETH-aligned and stepped up to be the MicroStrategy of ETH. What did you mean by this? Will Frax become the MicroStrategy of ETH? Let's get into it.
So I was talking to Tetranode, who I think most people in ETH DeFi know. And one of the goals that we have going forward for like Frax Finance DeFi, right, is instead of actually giving out all of the revenue in like hard assets, right? Like you know, as we earn revenue from CDPs, POL, like lending and all this stuff, and essentially giving out all of the balance sheet that's growing, what if there was a way you can stack ETH and then still distribute a bond-like instrument to the VE Frax holders so that the APY is still similar to the revenue income, right? But the token represents a bond, right? Like a future conversion into essentially the strategic, we call it the crypto strategic reserve of Frax. And if that's the case, that means that we can create the largest balance sheet in DeFi and in crypto by just, as we earn revenue, intaking all of that into ETH and then like staking it in Frax Ether, obviously, but like it's ETH backed. And the larger and larger Frax grows, both as a chain ecosystem, the pile of ETH continues to grow. Again, it's like a commodity asset like Bitcoin, right? Like it's scarce, mm-hmm. It's valuable. That the L1 provides Fraxel security, right? And as we continue to grow it, like we distribute out bonds that is proportional to the income of the crypto strategic reserve. In fact, that's actually exactly the structure of MicroStrategy's trade, which is where the meme came, like, what if there was essentially a decentralized central bank that was a MicroStrategy of ETH? Because MicroStrategy has a long dated exposure to Bitcoin, right? So like they sell bonds and then they buy Bitcoin, right? They also like sell equity, which is a little different in structure, but they mainly sell debt, right? And essentially the trade is if in the future the debt is, because the debt is dollar denominated, right? The debt is actually in dollars. If in the future Bitcoin is worth less than the dollar, like let's say in like 10 years, like their note, I don't know off the top of my head, but if it's like a 10-year note, right, like $1 million of a 10-year note, right, as like an example, they sell it for $1 million, right, and then they buy $1 million worth of Bitcoin, right, and then they put it in MicroStrategy, right, and they obviously have to pay interest on this 10-year loan in dollars, right, so like let's say the interest rate is like 5% or something like that, right? Low yield, dollar type of debt, right? If Bitcoin doesn't appreciate on average of 5% per year, in 10 years when that note comes due, they're in trouble, right? They have to do one of two things. They either have to print like equity, right? Or they have to issue new debts to roll over the incoming because their Bitcoin is worth less, right? But if in 10 years, Bitcoin on average every year appreciates by 5% a year, like in this example, right? Because that's the interest rate of their note. It's not only profitable, but they've managed to intake Bitcoin and get that exposure essentially for just dollar denominated yield, like 5% per year. Whereas if you tried to do this in like perps or something, right, you'd be paying 30%, right? Because that's how Athena gets its 30% APY. Because if you actually want a long like BTC, you have to pay 30%. So like if you match that for short, you get paid, right? So the structure of the MicroStrategy trade is create debt that's really favorable, almost like a mortgage type of debt, right? Like $1 million of debt that you only pay like 5% on. And the bet is you buy Bitcoin with it, right? The classic sailor, like sell your house, sell your like friends, everything, and like buy Bitcoin with it or something, right? He's literally doing it. And then anything Bitcoin appreciates above 5% per year in this example is just pure like profit, right? And this is the same structure that we want to create with the crypto strategic reserve of Frax going forward for like the DeFi layer, right? And the motivation here is two things. Obviously ETH alignment to make sure like it's very, very obvious that we're always positive sum and going to be one of the biggest stackers of ETH. And then two is, I don't think a protocol or an ecosystem as young as Frax, even though it's 4 years, which is old in crypto time, but as innovative and important as like Frax, should be just emptying its balance sheet, right? Like if we have $1 million of like revenue coming, why would we distribute? I don't even think Frax holders, like, right, obviously this have to be passed by a governance vote, but like, I don't think Frax holders want that either. They want a crypto strategic reserve, but they also want getting APY.
Because it makes Frax stronger as a sovereign asset.
Exactly, exactly. And you have a giant crypto strategic reserve. It's on chain, it's ETH aligned. And it's like, it could become the biggest stacker of Ethereum the way that Sailor's MicroStrategy is the biggest stacker of BTC.
And so when you issue bonds, are they denominated in Frax, formerly known as FXS? Like, how does
They're denominated in stablecoins, so like Frax USD.
Oh, stablecoin. Oh, yeah. Literally in stablecoins. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Got it. Oh, okay. So they're denominated in that.
Because your bet is in, if in 10 or like, let's say it's a 20-year or 30-year bond, right? Like we have FXBs, right? Like if in 30 years, for example, right? Ethereum doesn't double in price. What the hell are we doing here, right? Like we're probably like already like screwed, right? Like if Ethereum doesn't go to like 6K by the time we're 60 years old, right? That's the structural bet that's very, very advantageous, right? You want to be able to make that structural bet if that's what you believe in. You don't want to make a short term structural bet, right? Because like maybe the next 2 years there's like a giant bear market, there's World War III or something like that, right? Or hopefully not. But then like oil is up, inflation is up, like you know risk assets or stocks or like tech and stuff is down like 80%. You don't want short term debt that can be called due at all times, which is why you also never want to back, for example, a stable coin that can always be redeemed for a dollar, which is just like instant debt, right? With a volatile asset, because as soon as it goes down, your debt can be called. But if you have a 30 year or a 10 year or like a 20 year debt, right, in dollars at a really good interest rate, right, like 4% per year, over like 20 years, that's an 80% payment, right? Like 80% in interest, right? If ETH goes up by 80%, which it has in the past month, but like over the next like 20 years, if it does that, it's totally fine. And anything else above that is just pure value creation for the Frax Crypto Strategic Reserve and like Frax holders, Frax, formerly known as FXS.
So with MicroStrategy, if I get this right, they issue like a bond for their MicroStrategy stock. And like when it comes due, it converts into the stock. But with the Crypto Strategic Reserve, it's straight up FRX USD bond and it converts to a dollar. Did I get that right?
It's almost like, I think for, there's two types for MicroStrategy, as far as I understand it. One is the one you explained, and then the other one is just a dollar based note that comes due in dollars. They're both like sometimes they sell equity.
They do both.
Yeah, they do both. And so the one that this is more similar to is like the second one, where like if they issue like think of getting a mortgage, right? Like, and then instead of buying $1 million house, you buy $1 million worth of Bitcoin. Right. And if for example, if like your house for some reason goes down in price because real estate crashes or something, you're kind of in trouble because now you owe $1 million. Right. For something that maybe is worth only 500K. But you don't have to pay the $1 million until like over 30 years. Right. That's like most mortgages are over 30 years. Right. Similar thing with what Sailor's doing is you create like a $1 million mortgage, right? Essentially, and then you buy Bitcoin. If Bitcoin goes down for like a year or two, which it did from when he started like actually buying Bitcoin, that's not due for like 30 years, right? Like he doesn't have to repay. You only pay the interest and slowly over 30 years is time, right? It's only a big problem if in 30 years, the thing that backs the loan is like underwater. But then the question becomes, well, if Bitcoin or Ethereum doesn't like double in price, like 4% on average, not every year, but like on average, 4% gain a year, will anyone even be using Frax or ETH or like stable coins or anything? Like, you know, like crypto is probably like debt, which we don't think is going to be the case, right? Which is why this is a really powerful strategy of both alignment and potentially like tens of billions of value creation for both the ETH community and the Frax community over the, you know, next 5 years or 10 years.
Really putting your money where your mouth is.
That's how you make the big wins, right? Yeah. Big bets.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're coming in just over an hour, so we're going to wrap up soon. But I have one more question. What do you want? There was a lot said here in this interview today. What do you think people should take away most about the Fractal Vision roadmap and the future of Frax?
Yeah, for sure. That's a great way to round it out. I think the most important things, obviously, from the top to the bottom, is that it is a new beginning and an exciting chapter of like Frax as an ecosystem and a chain and a DeFi platform. And then most excitingly, I think everyone that's like FXS holders is the big Frax share upgrade to Frax with the immense utility yields, points, additional validator functionality, and also the ability to earn these Frax bonds as the balance sheet of the crypto strategic reserve grows. So I think from like a high level perspective, maybe I'm just talking to the degens or just people that are like listening to this for alpha, but the most important thing, the TLDR, is the FXS token upgrade is going to be huge. That's basically
huge.
Huge.
Yeah, Sam, always a pleasure to have you on. I feel like I just get like knowledge dumped so much, but in the best way possible. It's going to be a lot to marinate on, and I'm really excited to see this all launch and be a part of it. So, Sam, thank you so much. Where can people find you on Twitter, X, find Frax for the latest updates? We'll close out from there.
Yes, sir. So I'm always available, as you know, 24/7 on Telegram and Twitter, just at Sam Kazmian, same username, same handle, Frax Finance, same Telegram, same Twitter handle. And yeah, let's run it back turbo. It's going to be a great 2025.
Let's run it back. Sam, thanks so much. We'll see you soon. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for watching this edition of Flywheel. I'm your host, DeFi Dave. There is a lot to unpack here. And I think we did a great job just going into everything a little bit, just getting you a taste of what Frax is cooking up, just a little bit of a taste, whether it's with AI and what they have cooking there, whether it's with Fractal and the Fractal hard fork, or whether it's Fractal DeFi itself. And of course, you know, no better time to be American in the States than in crypto. We absolutely love to see it. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And yeah, before we go, make sure you go ahead and follow all of our socials on Twitter, TikTok, Telegram, at Flywheel DeFi. You can follow me on Twitter at DeFiDave22. And we'll see you next time. Peace. Everything said on this episode is not financial or tax advice. This channel is strictly for educational purposes and is not an investment advice or solicitation to buy or sell any assets or to make any financial decisions. This video is not tax advice whatsoever. Please talk to your accountant and do your own research.